was lovely.
It's the Two Johnnies Podcast.
The Two Johnnies Podcast.
Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm Johnny B.
And I'm Johnny Smacks. Welcome to Podcast 43, coming to you from the inner sanctum of Two Johnnies HQ in Kerr, County Tipperary. On this week's podcast, we are talking about neighbours and how to deal with them.
He's a hurling fundamentalist, retired hard man, and news hound. Noel Furlong will be here with the news.
She's been vegan for the past week, but she's still alive. Maura will be here with her mystery topic.
And we'll be debating what are our top five Christmas songs and films of all Christmas time.
And we finish the podcast like we always do with our yurts and dirts of the week.
Yurt and dirt.
Before commencing with proceedings, matters arising from last week's podcast, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Shane snapped us in to say, well, lads, drove 2.5 hours from Donegal to Leitrim last night for your show. Brought a woman on our third date. She never even heard of you before. By God, she was entertained. She won the hair straighteners in the raffle afterwards. So I think I'm still in there. Thanks. Great crack.
I love the GA. And tonight's prize is a bottle of wine sponsored by Francie Marr in the local off-license and a hair straightener from Noreen.
Yep.
Lanky snapped us in to say, well, lads, myself and the girlfriend started the podcast from the beginning a few weeks ago and we're listening separately and obviously quoting it to each other. We got into the car last week and threw on the Bluetooth. I was laughing along, but the GF looked confused. Then she asked me, why are the lads talking so slow and dragging out their words? I said, you're talking normal. And after a brief discussion, we figured out she'd listened to about 30 episodes with the speed at 1.5. Let's just say I haven't let her live it down yet. Love the podcast, lads. How's Conal? Conal's still riding the big bitches, eh? So.
But as for your girlfriend, she's possibly insane. And then somebody with a deadly name, I'm going to go with Calum, said, just listening to the podcast there on my way back to Galway from Cork. Love the Saw Doctors cover, savage stuff. I actually work in a petrol station beside Leo Moran's house. He does call in the odd time. Sound lad. Well, tell Leo Moran from the Saw Doctors that we're asking for him.
Yeah, we will. Dara and Leash said, well, Johnny, bye. Just when you're out... Just when you're on about special sporting occasions, Munster hurling final day in Thurles couldn't be touched. Waking up half cutting the square and seeing the sea of colour in front of you. The atmosphere building during the players' parade and the final bit that puts the hair standing up is the pipe band starting up Auron Naveen. It would make you want to cry. I'm from Laois and I go to every Munster Championship game. The atmosphere is unbelievable. Absolutely love the podcast, lads. Hopefully I get tickets to your show. Do get tickets to the show in Port Laois. And a Laois man going to the Munster Championship, sure, they have to be entertained in some way.
Yeah, there's no hopefully about it, lad. Go on Ticketmaster and buy him.
Get the tickets.
John Rossiter said, Jesus, you wouldn't want to be spouting all this vegan shite around the mar tomorrow. It would certainly affect your price. Your price. Mara's not for sale, lad. The cows are. It's not her price, lad.
Another person snapped us to say, tell Mara go fuck with veganism. We milk 200 cows and we don't play fetch with them. And we spread the dung from the cows on oat land so porridge has animal food products too. Tell you one thing, Mara. You've upset the dairy industry. Something wicked last week.
You have vexed the farmers of Ireland. Now, Connie said, well, lads, Connie from down here, just recently moved to Boston. So listening to your podcast is a slice of home and actual crack that I need to get me through the day in the new job. I would say the Americans probably think I'm off my head crying, laughing at my desk. But sure, they're all wired to the moon anyway.
Lawless said, only catch up on the podcast after being flat out with college. After listening to you talking about Halloween outfits this year, I went as Robert De Niro and Taxi Driver, Mohawk and all. Unfortunately, everybody just thought I was a white Mr. T. enjoyed that one.
Somebody also snapped us a picture of their baby scan and said, if it's a boy and I call it Noel, any chance of a Noel's news mug?
If you forward on the birth cert to us here in Two Johnnies HQ, we certainly...
Yeah, we will. But the baby's middle name must be Furlong. I also want to know, what does Leo Moran be buying in the petrol station? Like, yeah. Is he petrol or diesel? Or like, is he getting a bottle of milk? Or is he smoking a few fags? Or what's he getting? Is he on the roll? He's like, what's Leo at in the shop?
Contact us. Let us know what he's buying in the shop. All right, so who gets the Noel's News mug kindly sponsored by the guys in hairybaby.com, where, once again, you can buy loads of Two Johnnies merchandise. The perfect Christmas present. Who's winning it, lads and ladies?
I like the white Mr. T. Who do you like?
Yeah. Yeah, white Mr. T for me. Yeah, that was it. That was one of the easier decisions on the podcast that we had. All right, the weekly roundup. What's been going on in Two Johnny's Land this week? I'll tell you one thing, Johnny. A week and a half going on this week.
I'll tell you what, man. Lad, I'm going to make a controversial statement here now. I don't think any two men in the history of work worked a week like we worked. There's lads in, down in coal mines now, back in the famine, laying blocks. And I'll tell you, they run a handy number now compared to the two Johnnies.
We had a crazy week, yeah. So we were promoting the tour this week and we were everywhere. You name it. If anyone wanted to talk to us, they talked to us this week about it. So we went on Q102, fucking FM 104.
Sunshine. News Talk. We ended up on News Talk.
Yeah. Nova. Yeah, and we're also done a bit with RT and
a few newspapers.
We're on the 6 o'clock show.
Yeah,
that was good buzz. Mario.
We met the impressionist Mario Rosenstock, who was a very funny guy, full of beans.
Absolutely full of beans. He was great crack, now in fairness. And we also done an impression of the Happy Pair live on television.
Accidentally.
Yeah. That's improv for you. So that was a crazy week. Promoted the tour. Tickets are still available on the 2johnnies.ie.
Can't emphasize enough, lads. This is the main thing you need to take away from this podcast, lads. Will you go on to 2johnnies.ie and buy a few fucking tickets, will you?
Yeah, all this free content. We don't charge you, lads, for the podcast.
No, you're getting it for nothing.
No, huh? Do your bit. We also finished the Big Show, Small Show. 41 odd shows. It was the 41 shows of the Big Show, Small Show. And it came to its conclusion last night in lovely Leitrim. And I can tell you categorically, they are the worst roads in Europe. So we will be back in Leitrim for next year's tour, the Get Loose tour. We're going to Carrick on Shannon.
Yeah.
And we're also in Sligo. So we get to travel all those roads again.
People were like, did you come by Athlone or Mullingar? And we were like, we came via the famine. It's absolute desolation there on the bog roads. I swear, there's no road in Tipperary as bad as them roads from... We ended up going through Port Arlington and Road in County Offaly, and we came into the Mullingar the back way.
Yeah.
And then we came up by Loch Allen. Johnny said to be handier go to Buenos Aires. No, Manor Hamilton.
100% lads, I can tell you that.
But
now,
fair play, a lot of people came across from Fermanagh and all that now.
Yeah.
Because we haven't gotten up that far. We're trying to get Belfast onto the tour. That's the only date we're working on. Everyone is like, oh, sure, I'll get you next time around. There'll be no next time.
Yeah, get to Carrick on Shannon, lads.
There's 15 dates, and that's it.
That's it. Yeah, Brexit fucked us over now. That's what's going on.
Imagine if you like Noel's news. Sometimes Noel only has a few minutes before the podcast to come up with his news.
Yeah.
Imagine Noel had 6 months to come up with news. Wouldn't that be worth hearing now?
There will be a live Noel's news I can see on a new tour, and it'll be absolutely lit. If you think he's wild in this podcast, imagine what he can do live.
Last night now, there was the last night at the Big Show, Small Show, and we said to them now, like, this show is over 16s now, lads. Yeah. And the front row was 12-year-olds. And Mara, I'm not going to lie, I didn't hold back. At one stage, Max actually walked off stage. He was so disgusted with me.
Yeah, you took it too far when you said a young fella got his first horn talking about breastfeeding. I exited the stage at that point.
Johnny was doing a bit about breastfeeding and he didn't want to say the word tits. He was like, you know, if I'm at a restaurant, I don't want to see like a 4-year-old like sucking on. And he kind of looked at the young lads. And I was like, they're farmers. They know what tits are like, you know. And then the kid in the front row was like, oh, yes, tits. I know tits. So, oh, tits. I'm in favor, you know. And then we went on from there. His parents were sitting in the row behind him then. And
yeah, we rinsed them as well. So.
We rinsed them as
we
well.
We really threw every joke we ever thought of in the world. We threw it in last night and lashed it out in Leitrim. Went well. Everyone was happy. No complaints here.
And we got to do an interview for Ocean FM with the great Francie Boylan.
Oh, yeah.
Francie Boylan from What's Not's fame. Of course, where'd you get your shades?
Yeah.
Madame from a fella called Bono.
So just, if anyone doesn't know what What's Not's is, will you just type that into YouTube now?
Go on to YouTube, type in What's Snots. It'll be the best 5 or 6 minutes of your life. And I promise you that. We're also getting ready for Whelans. Whelans is on Tuesday night. A lot of people saying what to expect. Now, if the Saw Doctors combined with the Venga Boys and combined with Led Zeppelin, that's what to expect, lads. It's a full music show. Yeah, it's the second coming. You know, kind of like Like God. It's like God or the Saw Doctors getting back together. It's going to be that big. It's massive. Yeah.
/ Italian 90.
We've got a very special guest.
Yeah, we're still not saying a word.
Are we not saying
that? I'm not saying it to nobody.
Okay, right. We'll say it maybe on the day.
One thing I want to say is if you're coming to the show Tuesday, come in early.
Yeah.
Because
it's sold out.
Yeah, I went to the Blizzards during the week.
Yeah.
They were very good. But there was lads traipsing in the door and the boys were 5 or 6 songs in. That won't fly Tuesday night. I'll come down and make a show of anyone who's late.
So what time do you want people in it then?
Doors are at 8.
I'd be in by 8:30. Because that place is rammed.
Yeah, it's rammed. Like, and to be honest, it's at absolute full capacity because there's no one else we could possibly squeeze in there. Everything's full. And
there's a fair whack of people on the guest list too. So if you want to see the show, come in early and get up the front.
100%. We're looking forward to that. It is a full music show, of course. We'll be banging out all our tunes and a few classics that we like along the way. So we'll see you there.
And we spend a ridiculous amount of time in the car.
Yes.
Service stations again.
Service stations, yeah.
Had those tighter roll holders that you hate. Do you know the ones that they're a little poking through the hole?
Pinch them, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in Junction 3, I got caught and had to pull it off the wall.
I wouldn't have said that on podcast.
But I jammed it back up.
Yeah, you got it back together.
I reassembled the tighter.
Just to state there, lads, that's not criminal damage, right? He put it back. All right, topic number one, neighbours.
Neighbours. Everybody needs good neighbors with a little understanding. You can find a perfect blend. Neighbors should be there for one another.
I don't know that song.
That Neighbors, man, the team tune. My God. All right, we're talking all things neighbors, but our relations between Irish neighbors really like that. It's time to cut the back off your neighbors. What annoys you about them? How do you feel about your 9 neighbours? And you know, those types who are peeping through the old curtains. We all know them, lads. So now we're going to lay it all on the line. Are we good neighbours? Are we good neighbours?
Well,
oh my God.
I live on the edge of town. Mm-hmm. Schmacks lives in the country.
Ah, the country.
The country. So being in the country, I think your neighbours are more important. Mm. You have things like neighbourhood watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually got a notification on that the other day that there was 2 lads roaming the fields and the Gardaí said not to approach them. Fucking shitting it I was all week. I don't, honest God, yeah, I don't know what it was now, but just on a side note there.
Oh, it's normally like white fen spotted on the Priest Road.
Black terrier gone missing, suspectedly stolen.
May have the mange. I had a lad in here recently doing a job in the house, and his name was, let's just say, Tom Ryan, okay? And I was like, isn't there another Tom Ryan living next door to you out there out the country? And he's like, yeah, sometimes I get his mail. And I was like, oh, what? I suppose you just drop it into him. I don't. I fuck it into the back of the fire. That's a true story. I just fuck it into the back of the fire. That comes in from Tom, who was, of course, an evil genius.
Are we good neighbours, Johnny? We lived together for a while.
We would have been terrible neighbours.
Who lived next door to us back then?
An elderly deaf woman.
Was it, yeah?
Yeah, see, I had this big speaker system. Mm. And there was the volume adjustment was small and it was on the speaker. Yeah. And then on the bass bin was a massive separate adjuster for the bass bin. So when the boys had a few cans and they'd want to turn up the tunes, all they could manage was the bass bin. They couldn't turn up the actual volume. Okay. So just the bass would just be everywhere. You barely hear the vocals. And in fairness to Teresa, she never said a word in all the years we lived next door.
We lived next door for almost 2.5 years. I don't think I ever seen her. Genuinely.
No, I think she exists, all right.
You sure?
Yeah, she does. I called into her there a while ago.
Good man, good man. Neighbours are a strange one, lads. I've had a lot of neighbours over the years. I've had drug lords. Mm-hmm. I've had foreign nationals. They're incredible. Mm. You know, they're great men. 6 o'clock on a Sunday morning, they're out the back building a gazebo. They're going, lads, will you take it handy on the hammer? And they're saying, barbecue, barbecue, barbecue today. I say, lads, 6 o'clock in the morning, I'll barbecue now, you know, in a minute. But they were handy because I was working at the baking factory time. I used to get a lift with them.
Class.
Yeah, it was only a few years ago, but health and safety wasn't great. Because around 14 of them living in the bungalow and used to all get into a Yaris. And then they'd be like, do you want a lift? And I'd be like, where am I going to go? On the roof. But the boys were great. They were good crack. But I mean, talking about the drug lords. That was dangerous. That was, I actually remember that at the time because we lived in Roscrea.
Yeah, I just going to have to stop you there. Like, drug lord is a big claim. Like, did you live beside Pablo Escobar or like El Chapo in Roscrea?
They were definitely dealers.
Okay.
Yeah. And users, I would think. And yeah, it was dangerous. Mother used to be freaking out, like, because Abby was only young. And we live in a small enough estate, like, so everyone was like, get rid of him. But what can you do? Like, you can't really get rid of him. They eventually left, thank God.
Did you call the guards in Ranton?
Oh, I should call the guards loads of times. What were the guards going to do? Like, there'd be lads, like, sometimes they'd have a big party. And, like, one day I went outside the room and there was some, or went outside the back door and with my mother. And there was a fella, like, hiding on the side of her car. And the mother was like, what are you doing? And he was like, they're after me. She was like, who's after you? They're all after me. She's like, will you fuck off home, Seamus? Jesus Christ. He's down the side of the car just like
and
this.
And did he?
He did, he went away, yeah. But he was spazzing out. He was fully convinced there was like 50 people chasing him. So it was a scary time now living beside them. And I had another neighbour as well. I hope they don't listen to this. They won't, they're elderly. But her daughter was going to the Debs.
Yeah.
And right or wrong, her mother wanted me to go to the Debs with her. Now bear in mind, I was out of school around 3 years at this point. So like, her mother got on to my mother. You know, with being neighbours, I was like, oh, look, we're neighbours. Would Jonathan go, you know, do it'd be great, do us a favour. And I was like, oh my God. And the mother was like, no, you're going to have to go. You're going to have to go to Debs now. You can't let them down. And I was like, I'm like 3 years gone out of school. I'll be the oldest there. No, you're going. I'll get on to them down in the mornings. Now we get to suit. And I actually had to go to Debs.
Your mother set up your Debs date.
Yeah, I had a full-time job, like, and I was at the Debs. Blatantly 3 years older than everybody there. But my mother set it up. But sure, that's what neighbours do.
They that's help what neighbours each other out. Get forced into doing.
Yes, that is true.
I had a great neighbour, an elderly man, Frank, lived next door. And he used to go walking every morning. And he used to feed the birds. So, when you come out of the house, all the birds will be waiting on the electricity pole, on the lines. But the lines were right over my grandmother's car.
Oh no!
So every morning her car would be covered in bird shit.
Oh, bad job.
Actually, she didn't mind.
Have you been a good neighbour over the years? I remember when I was young lad I was. Probably better than I am now. Now I don't really care.
What did you ever do for your neighbours?
Oh, we used to live beside an elderly woman called Mrs. Harris. I used to call into her every second day and just say, do you want anything done in the shop, Mrs. Harris? And it wasn't because I'd get €2 each time. It was just because I was a nice lad.
You're like Ticketmaster, lad. You've got like a booking fee.
Yeah.
Handling fee.
Do you want bread and milk? It's like, yeah, no water. That'll be €2, Mrs. Harris. Right. Get your pension book out. But no, like, I think that's kind of lost now in society in Ireland. I think, I guarantee these people listening to this podcast don't know who their neighbours are.
Mm. Yeah. I'd be mates with my neighbours to the right-hand side.
Mm.
But the neighbours to the left-hand side are, again, from some part of Eastern Europe.
Mm.
I actually can't even tell you what country they're from.
Mm.
And they seem sound. Now, I went in one day and got a ladder off them, and your man was cool in the gang. But other than that, I can safely say I've never spoken to them.
Mm. Yeah. It is like, I remember we eventually got to know the boys living next door, the foreign nationals, because one night they were having a big party, and it was like 3:30 in the morning, and my cousin Gavin was over.
Mm.
Gavin's gas man. Eccentric, to say the least. And he was there, and Abby was young, my little sister, and my mother was like, oh, we're going to have to ask them to stop, like, turn down the music. Like, this was crazy. It was like the walls were nearly vibrating, like. And then my cousin Gavin was like, I'll go out now, I'll sort them out. Oh, I'll sort them out now once and for all. And he was vexed. I was like, Jesus, this kick off here, but keep an eye on this. I was maybe 16 at the time. So I was looking out the window. Gavin walks out, big walk on him, boy, tough out up to the door. Ding dong. Hey boys, turn down the music now, right? Turn it down right now. Come in, we have drink. I'll come in, so boys. He got home at 6:30 that morning. Music was still pumping. He was passed out inside in there. So we got to know the boys that way, and they're all sound. And obviously I worked with them in the factory as well.
I actually shared a house, kind of a house was split down the middle for a while, with a couple from the Ukraine. And again, same thing, we tried to have a row with them one night over the music. And then he tried to convince me that he was the brother of Andrei Shevchenko, the soccer player.
Did you go for it?
I don't know. Like, I was living with my mate Grinder, and he was like quizzing him and all soccer shit. Like,
but it's gas. Like, that way, you know, with neighbours. Like, I got friendly with one of the lads, one of the neighbours. Mm. And I worked with him in the factory. And I swear the factory grew him. Because he had no English. Mm. He's around 3'2". And the boys used to just take the piss out of him. And then every day they'd be like, hey, Victor, you're working for €3.50 an hour. And he used to just go, hey.
Hey.
And then he'd be like, hey, Victor, there's 200 living in a bungalow. Hey. But it's amazing how who you make friends with.
Yeah.
Would you be friendly with your neighbours?
Well, where I grew up, like, in the village, so the family to the right, they were an elderly couple, and, like, I love them because they used to give us, every Christmas, they'd give us a tin of roses. Like, my parents are really strict about sweet things when we were younger, so, like, you'd be, like, you'd be guaranteed a tin of roses from the neighbours to the right-hand side. And then the house to the left-hand side, I think, like, just different families kept moving in and out of that. And then there was one family that my parents fell out with because their son knocked my tooth out, so...
Under what circumstances, Maureen?
We were playing, and I think he was fighting with his brother, and he swung back, and he hit me, and knocked the tooth out. I was about maybe 7 or 8 or something like that. And of course, I was all like... Like, you know, only dogs could hear me. And then, sure, like, once the tooth fairy came and deposited, I was grand, but, like, my mother was like... You're not to play with them anymore.
She invites the neighbours then for the price of the tooth fairy.
Yeah.
And it's falling out with your neighbours is awful.
Mm.
Yeah. I know a family now, they fall out over dogs.
Or what? Mm. Like noisy dogs?
Yeah. You think that's bad? My neighbours used to have a goat.
You're joking me.
Yeah. Before Noel and Laverne moved in next door, the people before them had a goat.
Goats are, yeah.
What were they doing with them?
It was like a guard goat.
No way, a billy goat out in the backyard.
Yeah, because it was...
Don't get an Alsatian, get a billy goat.
Well, the ground was all lumpy, you couldn't get a mower onto it, or like a strimmer's a pain in the hoop. You just get a goat, he'd munch it for you.
That's outrageous.
We had three pet goats. My mother and my two younger brother and sister took a notion that they wanted a pet goat each. Like, and sure, goats around the farm are just a pest. They kept breaking through everything. And yeah. they don't respect, like, electric fence, and they don't respect everything.
They're pure ignorant, like.
Yeah.
They're like people from Leash.
Yeah. So my dad got fed up with this and put them to another field away from the farmyard.
Hope there's no vegans listening.
The goats were so, like, friendly, and they loved, like, they were no fear of humans. So then they broke into this man's garden, and the back door was open, and the three goats went upstairs in his house.
No way.
Yeah, because they could hear the voices. So my dad had to drive over and take the three goats out of the house, and the goats were gotten rid of that after that. So I don't know.
They were stew. That's... Okay, so Mara is definitely the worst neighbour out of three of us. Goats. You're upstairs in the bath, there's three billy goats looking in at you.
Like,
breaking an intern by a goat.
We have three dogs as well at home, and I think they do drive the neighbours a little bit mad at times.
What do you do, Saw, if your neighbours have dogs and they're barking?
Yeah, see, when my dogs only bark, they're in a run, and they only bark when somebody's cat comes along and sits on the wall outside their run and just stares in at them like, heh, 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 you can't get me now. The dogs go mental barking. So
so it's the cat's fault, not your dog's.
Yeah, it's the cat's fault. So, now, the cat doesn't come around anymore. I don't know why, but anyway.
Did you get a couple of them pellets?
I'm going to... That's nearly the only way to stop it. Yeah. If your neighbour's cats keep coming in, tormenting your dog, it's going to end...
Badly.
It's going to end badly for the cat. Yeah. Cat will be smirking away for a long time. Eventually, the dog or his owner going to get that cat.
Yeah. But my sister, maybe we shouldn't talk about this, but my sister has ended up that she has to keep her Jack Russells in her house because they bark during the day. So, yeah. But, you know.
Who neighbours? Who would have them? Like, I remember, like, as a young lad going around selling tickets.
Dog in your house all day barking, Mara. Sorry, Johnny, to interrupt, but that's cat.
Yeah, but no, they don't bark inside the house. They bark when they're out in the backyard.
She ever think about getting rid of the dog?
Yeah.
I think she'd get rid of me quicker than she'd get rid of her dog. So.
The one thing that used to kill me about neighbours growing up was, like, do you know when you go around selling tickets? Selling out a few, like, selling a few lines for the Terry Fox run.
Terry Fox run, lad, yeah. 50p there and I'm going running to Swiss Cottage.
Yeah, in Roscrea they used to have like a 10 mile walk. Yeah. And I swear it was just organized so the parents could just drop their kids off for the day and they'd walk 10 miles and sleep that night. And you'd be going around selling it. And those, I used to hate those neighbors who'd like look out the window at you and then like not answer the door, pretend they're not there. And you're like, Ian, I fucking seen your nose looking out through the window. I know it's only 10 pence a mile. Do you know what I mean? You can surely spare that. But what can we do in Ireland? Like the whole neighborhood, the togetherness and all that, I think that's kind of gone in Irish society, you know.
But sure, that's people staring into their phones, not talking to people.
Yeah. Well, like, you have the perfect excuse coming up to Christmas.
Yeah.
Do you know, buy a tin of roses. There's tin of roses for 10 euro or something in the shops. Buy it and just drop one into the neighbour, say, how are you, tin of roses? You know.
That's a perfect solution.
Reach out.
Reach out this Christmas.
I had a good neighbour, and what he used to do with us was mix cement. We'd always be at something in the garden, putting down footpaths and all. And if ever he heard the mixer going, he'd just arrive in with a shovel. You wouldn't even have to ask him.
No way.
Yeah, Frank next door. That was sound. And he was to take our dog walking. He was a great man for the fly fishing. So we had this Jack Russell. You're not going to believe this now. This is pure old stuff. He actually taught the Jack Russell to retrieve the fish from the water. So he'd be fly fishing and he'd catch a fish. And rather than fight the fish all the way in, the dog would swim out and he'd bring the fish in his mouth without marking it.
Jesus.
He wouldn't fucking bring a ball back to me, his dog. He was swimming for the neighbour.
Oh,
the dog
brilliant.
Made a pure show of me.
That's brilliant.
I lived in an estate for a while. And sure, we had the Tipperary songs out and all that. So all the kids used to keep calling around every day, is Johnny coming out to play? Like, I was about 21. I was like you were saying, Wimbledon would be on and they'd all be knocking around with their tennis rackets. Yeah. And then like the Six Nations would be on. They'd all come in with rugby balls. Like, is Johnny there? I was living with Joey Lips and a lot of lunatics, like, you know.
Out playing tennis with a lot of kids in Wimbledon. Yeah. That's brilliant. So what are we proposing then this Christmas? Are we proposing that everybody does something nice for their neighbours?
Go visit them.
Yeah.
Especially your elderly neighbours.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, cold weather coming in, keep an eye on them.
The cold snap, 100%.
Yeah.
If you have an elderly neighbour, maybe instead of buying her sweets, like buy her like an old...
bottle of whiskey.
Or briquettes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it like... sure, it only takes 15 minutes to call in to that person and sure, you'll just make their day. You'll make their Christmas. So
100%. So look, what we're looking for from listeners of this podcast is pop in on your neighbours, especially your elderly neighbours. Check in, make sure they're alright. And also, if you have any funny stories about your neighbours, disputes, anything like that, we want to hear them here at the Two Johnny's Pod. You can contact us on hashtag Two Johnny's Pod or get us on the social, Johnny Smacks or Johnny B Tipman.
And the Two Johnny's Dahai.
There you go. He's our favourite Junior B manager. No warm-ups, no tactics, just hard tackling and driving it. It's time for Noel Furlong, and it's time for Noel's News.
Noel's News! It's Noel's News! How are you young for that?
Well, Noel, it's good to have you back. You're getting in the festive spirit.
Oh, I am, don't I look it?
Yeah, you look very Christmassy here today.
I'm glowing.
What have you got for us this week?
News. Big reveal. Noel has news. My first stop on the news this week is India, home of the Apaches.
I don't think that's accurate. I'm
where the buffalo run free. Okay. Oh. Now, they have killed a man.
It's bad they're all laughing like this early.
They have killed a man because he killed a cow.
Jesus.
I told you them vegans were not to be trusted. Now, in northern India, just below Canada, there is a town called Chigrawati, and an angry mob of villagers had gathered, and they alleged that they had found carcasses of cows in fields that day. Right? Mm-hmm. Videos, which soon began circulating on WhatsApp, show a tractor with several cow carcasses blocking the road to the cop shop. See, there'd been a gathering of Muslim lads nearby, and they reckon they could have been eating the cows.
Yeah.
Because the Indians don't eat cows.
Mm.
So the Indians like, they don't eat cows at all.
Yeah, well, the Hindus.
They don't eat cows at all, yeah. Which is why they never got on with the cowboys.
Oh, yeah.
So the local barracks, they called for backup. And Garda Subdu Kumar Singh, he answered the call. And an angry mob had assembled outside the barracks. Now this stage, we're getting pure take over the cows being killed. And this Garda commander, he said, settle down. Calm down. And the lads are starting to get loose. They're starting to get wild. The whole situation was getting fairly loose. And then somebody fired a brick at him, at the guard, and knocked him out. Now, I've often got a brick to the head, and I can tell you, it's not pleasant. You wake up feeling like Van Morrison. So this guard, Subdu Kumar Singh, you'll remember, of course, his brother Tige, was part of the victorious under 16 set dancing team at the FLA last year. He had no gun, no bulletproof vest. He only wanted to calm things down. But the angry mob shot him.
Oh, God.
They shot him in the head.
Sorry.
I'm delighted you find that so amusing. They shot the man in the head. Now, I've often been shot in the head. And I can tell you, it's a fair fucking dose. Here's the last time I was nearly late for mass. I had to stand down the back of the mass. My shirt was like a butcher's apron. But this poor man, he didn't survive. So, as Maureen was saying, in India, they don't eat cows because they're mostly Hindu. And the Hindus consider cows sacred. Now, I consider cows sacred too. Like, if I had a sick calf, I'd often bring him into the fire. You know what I mean? You know, maybe an old mug of tea with a drop of poutine in it and a bit of Larry Morland's leg rubbing. Now, you'd have to clean up the cow shite after him, but like, as my father used to say, a cow in the fridge is worth two in the ditch. So, many of the states in India, including this state of Uttar Pradesh, everyone's favourite state of India, has started enforcing bans on cow killing since the Hindu nationalist Bharatiya Janata Party came to power in 2014, is a good name. It kind of reminds me of the time Frankie Gorman came to power in the juvenile club. Man went full Terry Wogan on the But look, so they're new boys in charge in India and they don't let people kill cows, so I don't know what's gonna happen. But our thoughts and prayers are with that Garda and his family in India. And all the Apaches. And the Comanches. May the wind always be at your backside.
What the fuck?
Now, my second gripe of the week. Biohackers want to make their bodies and brains function by hacking their biology. I don't think you should be cheating on your exams, but that's fine. This is a new thing now. There is a man, Leavood Baditz. His mother was from Dunohill. And he wants to create new human senses. Okay? Now, if you touch his chest, you'll feel his first effort. It's a little machine, and it vibrates every time he faces north. That's a fact. This is a true story now. And he says some animals, you know, have a sense of direction. Mm. And he said, why shouldn't we? Because we're not swallows, would be my argument, and we don't need to know. But this new machine, well, they have new machines, like, you know, if you're driving and you want to know what way you're going, you have the navigation thing, right? And I like the way she says, like, head east, as if I'm a fucking sparrow. Like, and I'm going to Africa for the winter, like. I hardly leave the county in winter. So this lad, he gets a small shock in his chest every time he faces north. Now, I get a small shock every time I hear Mike Denver still alive. Stealing my oxygen. And just like a shock every time you face north, a Mike Denver song gets real old real fast. So there's another lad, Rich Lee from Utah in America. He's after putting magnets in his fingertips. That's a fact. I tell you, it'd be fair handy at the collection in mass. he has chips in him, like you.
That's harsh.
But these chips are not made of spuds. They can be programmed to open his car door when he walks up to it. The chip. Now, I don't use the electric locking on cars at all. I have a padlock on the door of my van. You will not gain entry to my van, no matter what you do. Houdini wouldn't get into it, Dad. I'll tell you that now. Fucking right job. Except the time I lost the key. I just broke the window and opened from the inside, but... Another time, I was telling you, I got clamped when I was in Dublin.
Oh,
right.
Oh, my God. I sent a letter, and the letter went missing. Well, I went straight to the GPO. And I pulled up outside, and I went in. I left the van outside on the steps of the GPO. And I went in, and didn't I see there was a tour about the 1916 Rising? Well, I got into a debate with the guide. And I ended up giving the tour for a finish anyway. So a load of yanks there. And I was telling them all about Padraig Pearse and Dickie Rock and the whole lot. And Dickie Rock. And of course their brave leader, Red Hurley. We lost many good men in that revolution, I tell you. James Connolly, Mick Flavin, and of course Foster and Allen. Your sacrifice will not be will not be forgotten.
Red Hurley.
So yeah, but by the time I got out of the GPO, fucking car, the van was clamped. So apparently they have this train that goes down the middle of the road in Dublin, and my van was in the way. I said, "Can't you go around me, pricks?" So they said the price of removing the clamp was £80. And I said, that's gas, because the price of a mini grinder is £60. I'll save you the hassle, boys. So, a grinder, funnily enough, is a name that they call a man who does this extreme body modification with technology. If you're putting bits and bobs, chips and magnets into yourself. Mm. That's what they call you, a grinder. But I've heard a grinder is also a website.
Yes.
Where lads meet up and go for pints.
I don't.
You should join it, Noel.
Yeah. Well, I was going to, like, if I moved to a new town, I suppose I'd just join a GA club. You know what I mean? If you want to get to know lads, a load of lads showering together in the nip in a big hall like this. You get
pretty,
to know.
Yeah. It's pretty like grinder, so.
Okay, fair enough. I must check it out. So anyhow, biohacking is on the way. Wireless technology in your body. Just a new thing.
Whoa.
Right? Now, the closest I ever came was the time I broke my knee. I broke the knee clean in three halves. And the only technology we had at the time was a bit of sticky tape. So I taped up the knee with a bit of sticky tape. And I tell you, I was vexed. I came on and I caught the next puck out. And I waded in towards the goal. 5 mile an hour. 7 lads hanging off me. And I stuck it in the goal. Hard and low like a terrier's Mickey. Well, Cannon Hayes was on the sideline and he said it was the best comeback since Jesus. I said, Jesus never had to play Rovers. So, let's small bit of local news. This week's local news is dedicated to the brave men who are packing their bags, risking their lives to serve their country, sharpening the blades, getting ready for the battle of their lives, knowing they may not return. The scouts. The scouts are starting back up in our little village. It's supposed to be very good for the boys and girls. You learn how to pitch a tent, you start a fire, hunt for your own food. It's very handy in case you ever moved to Carlow. That place has never been the same since the Vikings left. And do you know the lad who used to run the scouts? Spitfire Seamus. Spitfire Seamus, yeah. He were too hairy for the army, but he'd all the gear. He used to walk around in the army clothes, so he got the name Spitfire Seamus. But he wicked hairy. Just one day he had the shirt buttoned down and thought he was wearing a scarf. That's why he's so good at sleeping outdoors. Sure, he's got a layer of my insulation on him. Now, you know I'm a handsome, virile man. And, well, Seamus always had the old eye on me. So, if I was sharing a tent with Spitfire Seamus, well, you might want barbed wire on your underpants.
That's it.
Well, if I want to jostle, I get it home. I come home, Carmen have dinner on, and we make sure to be done riding before prime time. That's... So, they asked me to give me a hand. They asked me to give them a hand. I said, no bother. But I said, I want Dermot with me. When it comes to bushcraft,
no.
Nobody knows the bush like Dermot. He loves the bush. Dermot was in London in the 70s. He saw a lot of bush. He nearly didn't come out of it. That's a fact. So, my job was to get the provisions for the trip. And we were going doing this trip with the kids and the whole lot of many. So I pulled into the hotel because there was a funeral on. Now, I didn't know them, but you always get the best sandwiches at a funeral. So I went in and I sympathised and... Fuck, I took 40 or 50 sandwiches anyway, but they were all crying, didn't know the difference. But I got talking to a fella then, I'd know it was either bride or groom or whoever, but I had a few hot toddies. and I tipped away with the scouts. So the guards had a checkpoint up the road, and luckily it was my buddy Heaney that was on it. And I have him in the county draw, so it's all okay. And it's a good thing too, because I had 10 or 15 young lads in the back of the van at this stage now. And I steamed. So I dropped them off at the bottom of the mountain. And I said, lads, I'll call back for you now Tuesday and let me know how you get on. But of course, Spitfire Seamus caught me. And he said, no, you're going to have to come with the children. Keep an eye on them. I'll show them the bits and bobs, tying ropes and all this, you know. So I had to walk up the hill with the rest of them. I haven't walked since the war, lads. So we set up the tents anyway. Well, the young lads set up the tents, obviously. I was sheltering under a tree. Fucking lashing. And I roar at them, when you hurry up the fuck, I'm frozen. It took them forever to put up the tent. Anyway, so, like, by the time they had the tent up, I had all the sandwiches gone. So, I couldn't leave anyway. Seamus had the keys of the van. So, for the first time in my life, I called a taxi. Never even tried one before. Got your man to drop me home. And he said, that's 20 bob. I said, they've only 19, reverse. I didn't know they ever come back. I think it's a great organization anyway. But so that's my little bit of news for this week now, and I hope you enjoyed it.
Thanks very much, Noel. Are you coming to Whelan's on Tuesday night?
James Whelan's the Butchers?
No. For the gig. You're coming to the gig. You told us you'd do that song.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Leave that with me, so are you going to pay my train fare this time?
Yeah, we look after your expenses.
That I'm waiting. Yeah, I'm watching the post eagerly now for that check to come in. Tell you that.
Thanks very much.
Cash, man. I want, young fella. Good luck.
Thank you. Don't forget to rate, review, and tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast, and use the hashtag #TwoJohnniesPod. That's the number 2JohnniesPod to spread the good word of the gospel according to Johnny B and Johnny Smacks and Maureen. And of course, you can get us all on Instagram, the whole lot. Just go onto the Two Johnnies page, you'll find it from there. Alright, she's been a vegan for the past week. Maureen, how did you get on? Are you now a vegan?
No.
No.
Okay. I broke last night.
I had
2 glasses of wine and I was just like, oh God, this is not worth it. So I put on my runners, walked down to the village and was like, there's like a mobile chip van in the village at the Lovely. Weekends. And I was like, throw us out a chicken fillet burger there. And it was awesome. Yeah, no, being a vegan is like being married but never having sex.
Oh! We gave it a blast during the week. We had like...
We had one vegan meal.
And in fairness, the other day by accident I ordered a flat white and the man gave me coconut milk in it instead of the normal milk, and I'm ashamed to say it, but it was nice. Yeah, so try it. It is actually nice, but no, I won't be going vegan. Johnny, you won't be going vegan either.
That's the kind of places we get brought on these film shoots.
Yes.
Places that sell coconut flat whites. It wasn't O'Donnell Service Station Care. Say that, Maureen.
Yeah. No, definitely. I have to say, vegans, I respect you, because Jesus, the amount of abuse I got on Instagram was only the 16 abusive messages that I
got.
About vegans. Yeah, yeah. That's crazy.
Were they all from farmers?
Yes.
Yeah.
Suckler farmers and dairy farmers, and then just a few random people who just were like abusing me anyway.
The farmers. Leave Maureen alone.
My dad's a farmer, and I kind of like, when I said I was going to try veganism, I was going to try it for they say you should become vegan for environmental reasons, but then like it actually made me really mindful of how much like actually packaging I use in food. Like I go get my creamy latte every morning, and then I'm sure I might buy lunch in a takeaway box, and it's like, do you know what, actually if I just made my food myself, and
Lad, you'll be going around wearing black bags next, Christ almighty.
Black bags are non-biodegradable. Oh, so you can't wear them, lad.
You'll be wearing green bags,
Okay.
Hemp, lad. You make a jacket out of hemp or something.
Maureen, what have you got for us this week?
Well, that is my mystery topic, how I got on in veganism.
Okay, we're going veganism.
Well, we had our one meal. My mother made some sort of burgers out of chickpeas, sweet potatoes, bit of onion, bit of cumin, and something else. And then she kind of pan-fried them.
They were grand, actually, in fairness.
They were nice. They were like falafel burgers.
They were like, what I did was... I didn't have much, like, so for breakfast, I'd either have, like, porridge made with water and some fruit on top of it, or your face, it was not nice, or, like, the roasted almond milk, or else I just have toast with jam in it and then a chopped up banana and an Americano, and just, you'd be lacking something, I'd be like, just, and then for the dinner, I got Happy Pear. They do vegan ready meals, and, like, they're lovely. But Jesus, do you want a lump of steak or chicken fillet with it? It'd be lovely, but...
They're small, though.
Small?
Small, like the portions of the Happy Pear stuff. Because I had one. I had a chickpea curry there and myself one day.
Yeah. I'd it'd be grand for me, like, But maybe if you're a 6 foot lad with a set of shoulders, you'd need two of them, to keep...
A big chap.
And did you find yourself, if you're lacking something, like you didn't chance taking, a calcium supplement or something, seeing as you weren't getting dairy, or...
I think it was just that I really missed the protein. I really missed my eggs in the morning. I really missed lump steak, lump of chicken. That was what... And my creamy latte. I like.
And how do vegans get protein, apart from, artificial sources?
It's fried tofu and chickpeas and the corn burgers and stuff like that. But it's just, it's not the real thing.
Did you have any of them fake burgers, like corn burgers now?
Yeah, I did, yeah. But I didn't have the corn burgers. I had the, what you call them, strong roots burgers. Okay, they're like kale and quinoa burgers. They're lovely. Like, they're lovely, but they're lovely when you have a slice of cheese melted on top of them.
You're cheating, Maureen.
Yeah, so I would say, I think there's better ways to be environmentally friendly what you're eating than going vegan per se. Because I think for me, food is very much linked to pleasure, and it was not pleasurable being a vegan.
So back to the steaks next week.
Oh yeah.
I agree. I don't think we'll be going for it either.
Food and pleasure, myself and Smacks are back to the melted chocolate and strawberries approach.
Fondue for two. All right, thanks, Maureen. Don't forget, you can go on to the2johnnies.ie and you can buy tickets to our new comedy tour, Get Loose. It's coming all over the country. It's kicking off in Sligo and it's going all over.
That's right. If you talk to live podcasts for good, wait to see this. This is going to blow your socks off.
It's going to blow your mind. 2johnnies.ie for tickets. All right, topic number two. It's official. We're past December the 8th, so we can now finally discuss Christmas. I'm absolutely delighted. So we've decided to discuss our top five Christmas films and our top five Christmas songs. Johnny B.
Songs?
Go songs there first, yeah. Blow people's minds.
At number five, John Lennon. War is Over.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's a bit depressing, is it not?
Good though, yeah.
I think that it's actually like an understated, joyous tone to it, Johnny. Mm.
Okay.
Down beside that, I have Cement written. No, sorry, Sentiment. I mean, the song has a nice sentiment. It is one of the Christmas songs that kind of makes you say, like, you know, what have you done? Like, how has your year been like? And not just celebrating Christmas for the wrapping paper and stuff. John Lennon, it was always that lad.
Bit deep.
It's a little bit deep. Yeah. If you start singing that after a few cans now, things could take a turn for the south.
Yeah. That's not one for half two in the morning. Definitely not.
John Lennon, War is Over. Very good. Number four, Mariah.
Yeah.
Because when it comes on the pub, a nightclub, everybody goes ballistic. Mm-hmm. All the girls try and sing it and they can't, but that's fine.
No one's going to hit them notes.
Oh, lad, even Mariah can't hit them notes.
She can't even hit them anymore.
Number three, Wham Lam. Last Christmas by Wham. I love that song. As soon as it comes on, those cheesy keyboards. Bim, 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 bim. It's like, oh, lad, it's Christmas.
Yeah, you gotta love a bit of George Michael.
I heard about that song that apparently it was originally written as Last Summer. And then somebody in the record label went, just George, change it to Christmas and you'll have, and stick some sleigh bells on it. You'll have a number one, no bother.
So, wow.
Yeah.
That fella's a genius. We need to get in contact with
him. Yeah, if that guy is listening.
I can just see the Euro signs in Johnny B's eyes.
Bing, 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 bing.
Number two, Band-Aid, the 1984 version. With Sting and Bono and Tony Hadley. And the lad from Durn Durn,
yeah.
Duran Duran, yeah.
Bananarama.
And what's the other lad's name who wore all the eye makeup?
By George.
Yeah.
Adamant. Oh, sorry.
By George, yeah. Sorry. Is Adamant on the song?
No, I don't think so.
By George, lad. Turles.
By George from Turles, yeah. And the boys from Status Quo are in the video as well. They're hanging out behind the back. There's one of the lads from Status Quo you'll see has the greased up ponytail and he can't get up on the seats. He's like trying to make the photo in school. And number one, it has to be. It must be. Fairy Tale in New York.
Yeah.
Shane McGowan, Kirsty. I still haven't forgiven Ed Sheeran for covering that last year on your show, Maura.
Oh.
Ed Sheeran, like, hugely popular, hugely successful. If he's in Ireland, he's got to be on the LHO. He's that good. He's that big. Why is he covering that song?
But I think,
I know it wasn't your choice personally. Now, but
thought it was okay. He, like, it wasn't just him, he was singing it with other people, didn't
the lad from Picture This, Ryan Hennessy, came in and got like two or three words in. Ed didn't leave a gap for him now. No, I know why he sang it on the show, because he had like sang it on Spotify and it was going well. But lads, Christy Moore is the only man allowed to cover that song.
We agreed on that last night. Yeah, we listened to Christy Moore's Live at the Point and he covers that. And he just does it so differently that it kind of works.
Ed Sheeran's cover doesn't bother me. Ronan Keaton's cover.
Did he cover it?
Oh, lad. And he changed the words in it to be more PC as well. So I think Ronan Keaton should be sent to The Hague for war crimes. for his cover.
Crucified.
Oh,
that song,
upside down.
That song only works because Shane McGowan, like, you look at him and you're like, that guy's lived. Yeah. He's seen some shit. Like, he looks a bit haggard in the video. And
yeah, he lives in a drunk tank.
Yeah.
Christy Moore as well. You look at him and you're like, that lad, you know, yeah, he's got a neck like a bull, but but he's seen things. And he's talking about, you know, faded dreams and love you've lost and all. And it's not the same when you're Ed Sheeran in your 20s and you're like the biggest artist in the world. Just doesn't work, the sentiment of the song.
Okay. Just looking at my top five there.
John.
People will be making a lot of assumptions about me from this top five. So I'm going to kick it off in number five, Step Into Christmas, Elton John.
Step Into Christmas, Step Into Christmas. Some song.
I
can watch the snow fall forever and ever.
Love that. I absolutely love that song. And I had to put it in my top five. When Johnny was like, you're not going to put in that John song, are you? I was like, that's a class song. It's got a special place in mine and the Chalk Ice's heart.
Yeah, no, most of you won't know it, so you can Google it and decide for yourself.
Yeah, Step Into Christmas. A weird video, but yeah, it's Elton John. So he's at number five with Step Into Christmas. Number four, E17.
Stay now.
Who doesn't love that? Fellas wearing white puffer jackets. They're all the rage now. And sunglasses, even though they're in a studio. But I do like the song, like, and it reminds me of Christmas. I remember getting a shift one Christmas and I had a parka jacket on with the furry hood. And I honestly felt like I was in E17. I was just waiting for the music to start playing after Grant's nightclub in Ross Grey.
But even though they don't actually mention Christmas in the song.
No, but so does the snow machine, man. We'll get on to this later on.
I like in that video, if you watch it back in the first course, and he's like, don't say it's the final kiss. Not the main guy, Brian Harvey, the other lad is like pointing at his mouth while he sings that. Stupid.
Yeah, I'd say there were on a lot of narcotics at the time.
Full of beans.
Number three, Wham, Last Christmas. Of course, same as Johnny, we had him in the same order. Now, Fairytale New York was not number one for me. It was number two. As Johnny said, great song, absolutely brilliant, iconic stuff, dancing around every pub in Ireland, langers to Fairytale New York. Number one is Band-Aid 94 for me. And I've got it, Band-Aid
84.
For me as well, yeah. Not 2004, where Dizzy Rascal does a scandalous rap in it. Here's to you, raise a glass for everyone. Spare thought, this your time for the deprived. If the tables are turned, would you?
Here's to them underneath that burning sun.
You ain't got to feel good, feel hopeless. Give a little help to the hopeless. I don't give a fuck how hungry they are in Africa. That man should have never done that rap. Bob Geldof, what were you thinking? Yeah, scandalous. So
that is the worst thing.
Yeah, that's no. ever happened. The music.
to Africa.
Yeah, yeah.
The middle version of Band-Aid is the worst one. There's 1984. Then there's the one with like Dido and all them. Then there's the one with the Darkness and Dizzy Rascal.
And there's a newer one now again.
Agway.
There is. There's one with Ed Sheeran on anyway. That wasn't the 2004 one.
There's one that sounds really indie and it's got Sugar Babes run it as well, like, and all.
That could be the one with Ed Sheeran in it, maybe. I'll have to look that up, how many Band-Aids there was.
That one is cat.
Can I, before you go on to your movies, can
of course, Maureen.
You've missed some.
Okay, go on.
We've got our honourable mentions, yeah.
Oh, honourable mentions, okay.
Well, go on, Maura, tell us, anyway.
The Snowman. Or Walking in the Air.
It's a bit haunting.
Walking in the Air. I seen that cartoon when I was a child, and I'm not joking. I didn't sleep for fucking weeks after. That is the freakiest thing. I was staring out the window at night out into the garden. Dog staring back at me. I was waiting for him to climb the walls and take me away to all the snowmen.
Okay, you
snowman,
like
take it by hand, take it flying.
Ryan Sheridan did do a good cover.
Yeah, I have
actually
his version. I have my own little Spotify playlist. I'm not going to name all the songs on it. Christmas Baby, Please Come Home by Darlene Love. I love that song.
What one's that?
I can't sing it.
Baby, please come home.
Oh, yeah.
But who's the cover version that we know? It's singing Deck the Halls.
Buble obviously does a cover of it. It's a Christmas song.
But listen to the original. And there's another one here that I like. Sorry, I'm just trying to scroll down to find it.
We left out Boney M, lad. Mary's boy child.
Long ago in Bethlehem,
So
the Holy Bible say.
Nothing spells Christmas like steel drums.
Yeah. Under the sea.
Two mentions. Oh Holy Night with Joe Dolan and the RTE Collins Orchestra. I love that. And then my favourite Christmas song is A Spaceman Came Travelling by Christopher.
Christopher.
Yeah.
And he went,
can you hear him? Does he actually mention Christmas in that song?
But it's about Jesus being born. If you listen to the lyrics,
it's first religious song out of all our ones. Oh, Holy Night too.
Yeah.
I like Wizard.
Yeah.
When the snowman brings the snow, and then Slade, because everybody mixes those two up.
Yes.
Slade and Wizard, which is I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day.
Yeah.
And their singer Nobby Holtz. Good song to cover. We used to always play that when I was in the wedding band. And my favourite kind of hymny one, Silent Night. Holy Night. I went to school with a girl called Hannah Burke who did a deadly cover of it. Like, didn't release it right now. I meant like in religion class. Like, so.
I don't have too many honourable mentions. Just Shaken Stevens.
Yeah.
Oh, I knew you were going to say him.
He just smells of Christmas, that fucker. He only comes out, he's like Buble. Two of them live in the same cave. And they just come out in 29th of November.
God, he was old in that video and he's still ticking.
He's still with us, yeah. He's now 208. That's Shaking Stevens.
And he's still releasing like top his calendar stuff. He's still going.
No, you're thinking Cliff Richard.
Who did I say? Who did you say?
Shaking Stevens.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Oh, Cliff Richard's alive, alright. He's frail, but he's hanging in.
Oh, he had Mistletoe and Wine.
There. Yeah.
Christmas time. That's Cliff and Dale.
Yeah.
That was him.
Yeah, we're not. That he doesn't get an honorable mention. We've been googling, and as far as we can see, the top selling song, Christmas song of all time, is Band Aid, 1.8 million copies.
That's what Google's telling us. This was a rush job, all right.
Boney M was also up there, so we don't know how.
we don't know how legit the Google is at the moment. All right, top five Christmas films. According to IMDb, who seemingly know shit about films, the top five Christmas films, according to them, is number five, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Number four, A Christmas Story. Number three, Miracle on 34th Street. Number two, White Christmas. And number one, It's a Wonderful Life. I can honestly say, from those five films, the only one I've ever heard of is Miracle on 34th Street.
Oh, National Lampoon's is funny, that. Check that out.
Yeah, must check that. Never
if you watch It's a Wonderful Life, you're going to cry so hard. So just, I don't know if you're emotionally ready for
I'm trying to get my life together more.
Just, you know, have a freezer full of Ben and Jerry's. Because
I think that could tip me over the edge. All right, so my top five Christmas films. Number five, Elf. I mean, who doesn't love Will Ferrell? Number four, The Santa Claus. You know the one with Tim Allen?
But
he shaves in the mirror and then like a beard grows back straight away. That's like Jordan Sparrow Halley, who plays football with us.
Yeah.
It's got the exact same problem. Man grows, it's hair grown out of hair. Number three, Bad Santa. Billy Bob Thornton. Did you ever see that?
I watched a bit of it and haven't watched the whole way through.
Oh, you know, little young lad, little chubby lad.
Yeah.
Nobody knows this, but that was actually me in primary school. There's a great scene in that at the pinball machine. There's like this like hot young one dressed up as Santa, and then he goes over and is like, "Oh, you're playing it wrong," and he's like showing her how to play the pinball machine, and he's blatantly just like rubbing up against her, banging her against the pinball machine. That's at number three. Number two for me is Home Alone 1 and 2.
Ah, lads.
No. I'm combining them. Because Home Alone 1 and 2 our class, obviously, the Wet Bandits, you know, Joe Pesci, all that stuff, unbelievable. And Macaulay Culkin is so good in 1 and 2, right? And then they went and made 3.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't mean to be harsh on the young lad, but he came across as a little bit of a prick. Very needy. Very needy young fella. You know, he said, "Oh, I have chicken pox." Fucking Macaulay Culkin was in New York on his own. He was all right. That young lad, do you know what I mean? That young lad's at home. "Oh, I have chicken pox. Oh, I'm at home. I have chicken pox." What he done with that remote control car is very unrealistic anyway. So Home Alone 3, not in there for me. Home Alone 1 and 2, unreal. And last but certainly not least, my favourite Christmas film of all time, by a million miles, the easiest choice I've ever made, Love Actually. Liam Neeson's finest work. Do you like Love Actually, Maura?
Yeah.
You're not convincing me.
Well, no, I was... Do you know what it was? Last night, I was... after my chicken fillet burger, I put on Netflix and I was like, will I watch Love Actually or will I watch The Holiday with Cameron Diaz and Kate Winslet? And I chose The Holiday.
I've got to say Love Actually. I also really like it because I fancy Martine McCutcheon. Mm. Weird one, I don't know. And also, there's a great scene in Love Actually. My favourite scene from that film is where your man goes to your aunt's house with the cards. You know?
He's in love with his best friend's missus.
He's in love with his best friend's missus.
See, I thought that was bad form. I was like, you don't go after your mate's missus. It is, but I don't care how much you love her. You,
but at Christmas...
Hands off, there's a ring in the finger.
At Christmas, that's acceptable. You know, love...
Christmas cheating is acceptable.
Christmas
like,
love.
To steal your best friend's missus.
Christmas love. And there's a great bit in that like where he goes, enough now. And then just as he pulls up the zip on his jacket, Dido breaks in with a, I won't go. So I like that. And if you see that, it's perfect timing as well. So yeah, Love Actually, my favourite Christmas film. Johnny B gives your top five.
Love Actually, it's all the intertwining stories. It's like Tarantino without the guns. You know what I mean? Or plot.
It's one of the only films where Hugh Grant's not a prick. He's in it.
Yeah, he's in a lot of weird movies.
I like Notting Hill now as well. I like a bit of Hugh Grant.
Okay, well, seeing as you're smashing Home Alone 1 and 2 together, because they were both in my top 5.
Okay.
That makes room. Go on, I'll put Love Actually at number 5 then.
Okay, good man, John, mate.
Just because we're...
Good to know love is alive in
buddies,
your heart.
At number 4, Muppets Christmas Carol.
There goes Mr. Humbug. There goes Mr. Me.
Have you seen it, lad?
No.
It's fair funny.
Is it?
Honest to God, now.
I
know.
Oh, it's so good.
He doesn't watch it make believe.
That Miss Piggy reminds me of an ex-girlfriend.
It's the story of Scrooge, like.
All right.
You know, like, he gets visited by the three ghosts. You know that classic Scrooge story?
Yeah, he reminds me of you.
You haunt me.
Max, I'm telling you, you will love it. Because okay, the songs in it are great.
I'm actually going to take a note. I'm going to take a note of that film now.
Muppets, yeah. And Michael Caine plays Scrooge.
Does he? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, okay. I'll give it a look.
Elf.
Yeah, number 3.
Will Ferrell, who, you know, absolutely wired to the moon in that movie. Man, really had his breakfast before filming that one. That's all I can say. But that's a really fun movie, yeah. Number 2. Here it is, John. Here it is. Are you ready? Die Hard.
Yes!
But it's not a Christmas film.
And yet, it's set at Christmas. It's in an office Christmas party on Christmas Eve.
It's not Christmas until Hans Gruber falls off the Nakatomi building.
Now, yeah. I know that people are going to say, like, oh, it is a Christmas film. I don't think it is. I googled, like, Christmas films. And Die Hard came up. And so did Batman Returns. And that's sure as hell not a fucking Christmas film.
It's not set at Christmas. It might have been released at Christmas.
But I will say, in your defense, according to Forbes magazine, who are seemingly the dog's bollocks at making lists, the number one Christmas film of all time, according to Forbes magazine, is Die Hard.
In terms of revenue.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, podcast listeners. I'm gonna show the lads something that's on my phone, but I will share it on my Instagram. It's my favorite Christmas ornament ever.
This is
God.
Bruce Willis, aka John McClane. There's a famous scene where he climbs through the ducting.
Yeah.
And they've made an ornament to represent that.
Yeah, that's it's like a tin foil box and then a picture of John McClane inside it. It's brilliant.
Check that out, Mar. I'll have that up on the Instagram. Johnny
McClane.
Give us the big reveal. Your number one Christmas film of all time.
Alan Rickman plays the bad guy. McClane. My number one film, at Home Alone.
Home Alone's your number one.
Lad, come on. Come out with a fog, like.
Brenda Fricker, you scared the shit out of me in that film.
The pigeons, like.
You know I'm afraid of birds, like. Combine that with Brenda Fricker, it's a fuck. I tell you what, it's a nightmare scenario.
He gets lost in New York. Like, how he gets on the plane? Jeez, you wouldn't do it now.
No, you won't get through security now.
You'd be shot.
Same in Love Actually. That young lad like runs through security to give your one a kiss. Like he'd be minced and he'd thrown out.
He'd be drop kicked and hanged. Yeah. Nah, I feel like he'd have cable ties around his arms. Lad, he'd be in the back of some black squad car. Like, I'm telling you.
So Home Alone. For
yeah,
you.
And just want to give an honourable mention to, you know, we're talking about that Christmas story of Scrooge and all that. Mm. Bill Murray made a movie where he plays Scrooge. Mm. It's set in the modern day, like he's 80s or whatever it is. But it's really funny.
Yeah.
And I would check that out. It's a good Christmas movie. Yeah.
It is. Jim Carrey played the Grinch as well, Johnny.
I watched that last week, lad. A load of muck.
You didn't like it.
Ah, the Grinch was catmalogian.
More or less, right? We're missing there.
No, Die Hard and Muppet's Christmas Carol would be my two favourite Christmas films. And It's a Wonderful Life as well, but you can only watch that...
if you're emotionally stable.
Yeah, because I watched it and it was just like, I made the mistake of watching it Christmas Eve and then it was just like, oh. No. Like, it's a beautiful film and you know what? It's really upsetting, but it'll actually make you feel really good about life. But okay. It is, you're going to have a little cry.
So don't watch a Christmas Eve. Go and have pints instead. That's what Christmas Eve is for. Right, listeners of the podcast, we want your top 5 songs, want your top 5 films. Get them onto us on social media. We'll read out the best of them next week. And finally, it's Yurt or Dirt time, where we, the two Johnnies, each give our highlight and lowlight of the week. It's Yurt and Dirt. Johnny, do you want to kick us off?
Oh, I will, John.
Terrific.
My Dirt of the Week. Last night we were in Leitrim, and apart from the roads being cat, we came home from Manor Hamilton via Enniskillen down to Cavan, down to Dublin, because Johnny Smacks loves the motorway.
And it also worked out the same as driving through Baghdad on the way up.
As going via Athlone or Mullingar. And as soon as we got near Enniskillen, you get the beep on your phone about crossing the border. Now, I just want to start. I'm not talking politics, because the winners here is not loyalism. The winner is the mobile phone companies who are riding us sideways. Mm. If you're living in Belfast and you ring England, you ring London, they're like, yeah, that's a local call. But if you're living in Enniskillen and you ring Manor Hamilton 10 miles down the road, that's an international call. And we rang people who live up the north to clarify this. And like, a lot of them have two phones. Or if you're living in County Down and you come down to County Loud and you want to give someone your number, you have to call out 0044 and you get data roaming charges. And I'm not talking politics at all. I'm just saying phone companies. Surely you can make some sort of phone plan that covered the 32 counties of Ireland. I'm not talking politics at all. I'm just saying that's cash.
It's fabulous to hear that you care this much.
It's annoying for people who live around the border. Like. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's awful. It is. And then even last night, like, he was just thinking, oh, I'm going to be charged for this roaming now.
Because I had the Google Maps on the go. I turned them off as soon as we went over the border. I was like, ah, you'd be grand smacks.
Yeah, I navigated it. Just I followed my heart.
Like a swallow, letters.
All right, so that's your Dirt of the Week. My Dirt of the Week is, we're up in Dublin for a couple of nights and we stayed in the hotel. I won't name it now, but... there's no plugs beside the bed. Ooh. Why do hotels, like, in this day and age, they should have USB plugs anyway, first of all, right? All the good hotels do. But failing that, at least have a fucking plug beside the bed.
This is a common scenario.
Yeah, but you want to, like, what you want to do at night, you get into bed, I like to have a browse on my phone. I'll plug it in, charge it, and have a browse on my phone. No, I couldn't. The nearest plug was around 12 feet away, over at a wall. And then, again, you had to put your alarm on. And instead of just reaching and putting it on snooze, I had to get out of bed, put it on snooze. Mm. So that was a pain in the arse. Hotels, why don't you have plugs beside the bed? If somebody can actually legitimately answer after me, I'd be a happy man. So that's my Dirt of the Week. Johnny, Yurt.
Wraps. I've been eating a lot of wraps lately.
Okay.
All the Chicken Phillip Brigade now are going to shoot me, disown me. Started eating wraps. Yeah, getting into it.
That's your Yurt of the Week.
Yeah, you couldn't get wraps in Ireland 5 or 10 years ago.
So the chicken rolls are gone?
They're not gone, lad. I'm just taking a break. Me and chicken rolls are just like, you know.
It was a good run, but...
no, we're just keeping it casual.
Okay.
I'm planning on seeing chicken rolls over Christmas now.
So your Yurt of the Week is wraps?
Yeah. Okay. Like, a lot of places now, there are these spinach and beetroot wraps. Now. I don't know what to make of them. I just want brown wraps.
All right.
But, like, who... why, when I go into a garage, is there no brown wrap, but there's, like, a beetroot wrap?
Yeah, you also had a little bit of a run-in once again with a filling station this week.
They had those toilet roll dispensers that you hate. You know the ones?
Yeah.
Oh, sure, I told you.
You told us that. But what about last night?
Oh, Junction 14. Our like favourite place in the world. We always stop there. It's the big service station going through Kildare. It's hatch only from 1 a.m. to 6 a.m. And there was no one at the hatch. We pulled up, I hollered, I tapped, and I banged on the window, and I waited for a good 5 minutes.
Bear in mind, we're 3 hours into a journey at this stage. I was slapping myself and had Christy Moore turned up as loud as it could possibly go in the car. Just to try and keep me awake, and pulled up to the garage, and no.
And it was two other customers came along at the same time.
Yeah.
And there was a lad inside mopping the floor, and I was shouting at him.
Yeah. So we're very disappointed.
I had to pee in a gate.
Very We did, yeah.
No, this is honest.
We're all honest here, we're all friends. So yeah, we went to Junction 3 and I met a lovely friendly girl who made me a wrap. I walked into the shop like a normal human being. I said, sorry, I know I'm going to wreck your head. It's like 2:30 in the morning, but would you mind making me a wrap? She was like, no bother, made me a wrap. Lovely, pleasant girl. So if she is listening to this podcast, yeah, fair play to you. And fair play to Junction 3 on that, Manor Stone. But
24-hour deli.
The best thing in Laois. That's a fact.
Yeah, fact.
There you go. The best thing about Laois, Junction 3. All right, my yurt of the week is, of course, the Big Show Small Show came to an end last night in Leitrim. Oh. 41 odd nights of it, and it's all over. So thanks to everybody that came out to see that tour over the whole thing. We wrote it in 2 days, and it served us well. It's brought us from Wellington Bridge to Balton Glass to Manor Hamilton to Abu Dhabi to Boston, New York, Golly, California.
The
whole place. We've done it all on that show. So make sure if you like that to come and see next year's show. All right, so that's it for this week. We're going to leave you with this cover from me, Johnny Smacks.
From me, Johnny B.
From me, Maura.
We'll be back next week. Same time, same channel. Enjoy this. This is a little bit of a throwback for you.
Oh, I messed it up. It's okay. It's live, though.
On my way to see my friend who lived a couple blocks away from me, as I walk through the subway, must have been about 3:15.
In front of me stood a beautiful honey with a beautiful body. She asked me for the time. I said it cost her a name, 6-digit number, and a date with me tomorrow at 9.
Did she decline?
No.
Didn't she mind?
I don't think so.
Was it for real?
Damn sure.
What was the deal?
Pretty girl, he's 24.
So was she king?
She couldn't wait.
Cinnamon queen.
Let me update.
What did she say?
She said she'd love to rendezvous. And she asked me what we were gonna do. So we start with a bottle of Moe for tomorrow.
Monday. Took her for a drink on Tuesday. We were making love by Wednesday. And on Thursday and Friday and Saturday, we chilled on Sunday.
I met this girl on Monday. I took her for a drink on Tuesday. We were making love by the Wednesday. And on Thursday and Friday and Saturday, we chilled on Sunday.
9 was the time, cause I was getting mine, and she was looking fine. Smooth talker, she told me she'd love to unfold me all night.
Ooh, I love the way she kicked it, from the front to the back she flipped it. And I care, I bet she cares, cause I'm the man who'll always be there. I'm not a man to play around with, cause a one night stand isn't really fair. From the first impression, girl, you don't seem to be like that. Cause there's no need for chat, but there'll be plenty of time for that.
From the subway to my home, endless ringing on my phone. When you're feeling all alone, all you gotta do is just call me Monday. Took her for a drink on Tuesday. We were making love by Wednesday. And on Thursday and Friday and Saturday, we chilled on Sunday.
I met this girl on Monday. I took her for a drink on Tuesday. We were making love by Wednesday. And on Thursday and Friday and Saturday, we chilled on Sunday.
Since I met this special lady,
oh yeah, I can't get her off my mind.
She's one of a kind,
and I ain't about to deny it.
It's a special kind of thing with you. I met this girl on Monday, took her for a drink on Tuesday. We were making love by Wednesday. And on Thursday and Friday and Saturday, we chilled on Sunday.
I met this girl on Monday. I took her for a drink on Tuesday. We were making love by Wednesday. And on Thursday and Friday and Saturday, we chilled on Sunday. Brap.
Yo, yo, Craig David, two Johnnies in the house.
We'll be back next week. We'll see y'all on Whelan's Tuesday night.
Brap. Got something to say.